Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for January 8th, first time in January.
We've taken a 3-week break, haven't we?
A long, long break, because podcasting every week exhausts us.
It's hard, like math.
It's really... Actually, it's not the podcast that's exhausting,
It's researching topics.
It's researching topics.
To talk about, because we took a lot of time doing that.
I mean, everything that we talk about is well-researched, and we work really hard at what we do here. So, yeah, we just really needed a long rest.
And we had to renovate our studio. I got a new cover for my phone, so it's a brand new look
for
our recording studio.
I didn't realize it was a different...
Yeah, and I had a crack in the screen of my other studio, so now we've...
So our technology is up to date.
Exactly.
And plus it looks shiny. And it had nothing to do with celebrating Christmas and having lots and lots of family here with us.
Yes, we had two sides of the family. My family, my parents, and your parents.
We were all together for 2 weeks.
Just like in the ancient world.
It would have been better if we had insisted that they all stay with us.
That's true. We should have built on apartments or something.
Well, or just retaken over the living room and made them all stay there and beds lined up.
That's true. Because in the ancient world, this house would be like the size of all of their houses together. All of our houses together.
Yeah. I mean, we have a huge house.
So we should
have
just given them a room and taken a room for ourselves.
Yeah. And the children could have all been in one room. So that would have been great. So we weren't really authentic. But I must say, everybody... behaved very well, and all our parents gave each other nice presents.
Yes.
Which was really nice.
It was nice.
So, and the children behaved well. You know, there's nothing like giving small children piles of stuff they don't need and then watching their beautiful little personalities unfold in gratitude and delight.
Right, because that's what happens when you give small children gifts. They're just incredibly thankful, and then they do their chores rightly and quickly the next few days,
and they're so grateful
because their hearts are overflowing with
gratitude and love.
And agape love, right? You just, that's the way it works.
So
the more gifts you give your children,
the nicer they become.
Right.
The kinder,
and candy. Don't forget the
candy.
The sugar candy.
The candy makes them into like little Mother Teresa's. of love for each other and for others. So I did start to lose it the last day.
Which day? Last day of what?
I can't remember. Maybe it was last week. I walked in and everybody was doing, I don't know if it was a puzzle or there was some big game. And one of our children was lecturing your mother in an authoritative tone.
Really? About what?
I can't remember the substance of it.
That deserved a...
But I...
Little...
Shot through the roof and made everybody get up and start cleaning and...
That little tank should have had a little swat on the rear end. Was it similar to the small one or a large one?
No, I can't remember. I dealt with it passive-aggressively, so I feel like it was fine. But that's the point where I feel like, well, Christmas is over. It's time that we return to our studies and our regular life because you guys are horrible. And I dislike all of you. All of you. So, no, we're on a better footing now that everybody has started cleaning and throwing things away and that kind of thing. So, well, this is just going to be our carefully considered wrap-up of holiday wrap-up.
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing about Christmas this year? And Epiphany.
You mean after worship?
Well, yeah. I guess, obviously, yes. Obviously, it was the worship that we loved the best. Joining together in church over and over and over again. We kept going to church.
Really? Because Christmas was on Monday,
which is the worst.
Yeah, so that was...
Such the worst.
It really... They should make it like Easter, where Christmas is always on a set day of the week.
I don't know. I think that would forever set it up.
But then they should make maybe Easter where it's always on a set day of the week. I mean, it should be a set date for Easter.
Like always the middle of April.
Or the first Sunday of, I would say later, May. Always the first Sunday of May.
Can Easter be that late?
No.
No.
We
could,
we should just say it. We don't know when knows. No one knows exactly when. Well, I guess we know exactly when Jesus was crucified.
Yeah, I think people do generally have a sense of when that was. So
anyway, it's very inconvenient.
Well, the birth of our Lord needs to be a convenience to you. So so the worship.
He didn't take into account the work that he was going to put pastors through. In the...
Yeah, it was so many services. Well, which was your favorite service?
I was actually impressed with the Christmas Day and the Advent 4 services. I thought they went well.
Yeah, Christmas Day was really nice. Christmas Day is always really nice because it's so quiet and nobody comes. Right. That's what I like best about it.
We had a pretty good turnout. We had about 30, I think 40 people, didn't we?
I know. I think we had 30.
Yeah.
But it's usually between 20 and 30, and yeah. I like it that way. Nobody comes. That's the main thing about it that's so great.
So that was good. But, you know, Christmas pageant was not the sparkling success that it usually is because we just... You know, the practices were chaotic and we just had...
Well, I had a lot of them, but it seemed to no effect, even though I kept trying to get people to practice. And, yeah.
I don't think anyone noticed the huge glaring errors in the pageant, except, you know, the first song, which is Matthew's Begats. Like, one half of the children were on one part of the genealogy and the other part of the children were on the other part of the
and they just kept going.
And they just kept going.
They kept just doggedly pursued their own
right.
Their own ends.
And then Mary decided, you know.
Mary got confused and left instead of staying put.
Well, she thought she was going to meet Elizabeth when in fact she was going to be talking to the angel Gabriel who's going to tell her that she's going to have Jesus.
So one of our children was the angel of love, one of our very short children, and Mary was very tall, but she wasn't there, so our little angel of the Lord came out and flawlessly set her lines to the air. And then the narrator filled in for Mary. Mary.
And then Mary said, he has this great radio voice, so he...
And then, I guess, did Mary appear? I was back in the back holding the baby Jesus. And so I missed this time. Did Mary come out for the visitation?
No. I don't think she came up for a visitation either. I think she came because she got so confused, and then someone told her, and she ran back, but it was too late because she just was. I mean, it wasn't. It probably. Who knows what happened back there? But it was fun.
Yeah, well, it's what you expect.
Yeah, it's a Christmas pageant.
Small children together, and some of them actually not small at all. And it looked very decorous, though, when Mary and Joseph were out with the baby. We had a really fine-looking baby Jesus, very beautiful baby. So, and then the songs weren't brilliant, but I guess they weren't the worst either. So, I would say that the pageant was a source of stress for me this year and sadness, but we pulled it off. I liked Christmas Day. I skipped Advent 4 because I needed to collect myself.
Why don't you talk about the roast that I made? I'm looking for fishing.
Did you want to say anything, though, about Lessons and Carols?
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Because that was very nice.
That was very nice, yeah. We had Lessons and Carols on Saturday night before before Advent 4, and it was a good... Really, first time we've done it, and the choir did very, very well.
Yeah, it was very beautiful. That was very good. It if nothing, it served to emphasize the chasm of difference between it and the Christmas pageant in terms of grace and beauty. Well, that's not fair because I did practice the pageant for what felt like months, but I guess it was almost 6 weeks we tried to practice, and it just...
Well, but you're not... I mean, there are some children in the choir, but they're not all children in the choir.
That's true. Yeah. There were adults to carry it along, too, so... Yes, well, let's not talk about that anymore. So, you obviously wanted to say something about your roast.
Well, I did, but I wanted you to say something. I wanted you to talk about how wonderful it was. It was my first time making prime rib.
Yeah, so we usually do a goose, but we couldn't get a goose this year. And by the time we could get it, which was like the day before Christmas Eve or something, we went to the store and we did see one. But by that time, we had our hearts set on a large beef roast.
Right.
So we just went with that. And it was really nice. You had to buy two of them, though.
That's right. It wasn't just one.
Because we had so many people. And it was easier than a goose, right? Because you didn't have to do it during the service. Or did you put it in before we went to church?
I put it in before we went to church, and I came back, and it was perfect.
It was perfect. You just took it out, and then you cooked all the rest of the food.
It's easy. That prime rib is the easiest thing in the world to cook. I'm sorry. If you just get the right rub on it, it does itself. If you don't ever follow the FDA approved temperatures for your meat, any meat. I learned that like 12 years ago, however long it was when I first started cooking, because the FDA says you take out a prime rib when it's 145 in the oven, and of course it keeps cooking. So what you end up with is, if you did that, which I didn't, but if you did that, you'd end up with like this well done hunk of
dry
meat. With turkey, I think it says take it out at like 175 or something. It's horrible, horrible, horribly burnt things. Go to English cooking sites or European cooking sites, and they'll tell you the right temperatures.
So what did you take this one out
at? 125.
Oh, you took it out at 125, yeah, and it kept going.
It just keeps going, and you let it rest, right?
It was so delicate and wet. It was perfect. And there was a good amount of stuff that wasn't completely uncooked.
Yeah.
So
you don't
like
raw. I like raw. I mean, I like.
Yeah.
I like blood squirting out when you put your fork in. But yeah. But other people didn't.
A lot of people didn't actually. Most
they
people.
Liked the roast, but there were edges where you could there were a lot there was plenty of all types of meat.
It was it was lovely. And then we redid this year because of having done our little medieval feast for our child and the trauma that induced, we looked at the number of people we were going to have for Christmas dinner and decided that we had to abandon the dining room. Or rather, I decided, and you decided not to fight me tooth and nail this time.
We didn't have room. We had 17 people, right?
Yeah, we had 17 and just can't do in our dining room. So we had three tables in a U for dinner in the living room in front of the fire. It was all banked up, and the candles and the Christmas tree. It was very elegant. And then you went outside and took pictures from the outside in, which
I thought people would like to see what it looked like if you were sneaking around our house.
Yeah, it was weird.
Like what the poor
outside
and who were cold wanting to come into our meal,
what they would be seeing if they came up to the window
and pressed their faces against the window.
It did look very pretty, and I don't want you to ever do that again.
The stalker view of
the stalker view. So, I like that, just abandoning the dining room. Although our dining room is very elegant, but there were just too many people. So by doing a U, though, you could get in between the tables and serve people.
I think the medieval nobles and kings and lords had a good thing going with that table shape.
You could be served more easily way.
And if I sat, I didn't, but if I were to sit at the head of the table, you could have your minions come in between the tables and give you right meal. And then you can just distribute the meat as you wish.
Right, you can send it down the board
to pass it along. It was you have to pass plates around the table. Things get spilled. It's just a mess. But this way, you have your.
Well, that was me. I carried the meat around person to person.
You have your slaves in the middle carrying.
Yeah. Well, that was you and me.
Right.
You and I.
But in general, if we did this for ourselves, it would be the children.
I don't think it would be the children. That's never how it works.
We get the older ones.
So what else did we eat? It was so long ago, it's hard to remember.
We ate New Year's Day, we ate a lamb.
New Year's Day, we ate, yeah. It's prime rib. But Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day, we...
It's prime rib.
And what else, though? Didn't just... That wasn't the only thing that we ate.
Brussels sprouts and potatoes. And then your mother made a pudding, some kind of persimmon pudding?
No, it wasn't a persimmon pudding. That just irritates me that you don't even know what it was.
It was a pudding.
It was a Christmas pudding. And after a month of me noting the differences between persimmon pudding and Christmas pudding, you persist in not listening to me. The two are very different. They're very, very different. The Christmas pudding takes a month to make, and you spoon brandy over it, and then you light it on fire, and persimmon, why are you looking at me blankly? Persimmon pudding, you just make, it's cake.
It tastes the same, though. It's like this, so they're both like this spongy.
It really, it's not the same. It doesn't taste the same.
With liquor on it.
It doesn't taste the same.
It tastes the same to me, but they're really good.
You didn't eat either.
I had a little corner of both of them. It was good.
I just, that I would spend so much time articulating this.
Which one was the one that was on fire?
Christmas.
Yeah, it was really nice. Pudding. You don't put the persimmon pudding on fire?
No, you can't. You don't put it on fire. I just feel like so much of my life is wasted because you don't listen to me. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm going to, that's the substance of it.
See,
what
I listen to you, but I just
you filter out for the important parts. Okay. So.
That's actually a more discerning way of listening. Cause I know.
You know what's important.
I have to be careful to know what to tune out and what to tune into.
Yeah. Well,
so when you in the morning when you're living, give me the list of things you have to do. I know. I have to look at you.
And nod.
And nod. And have every once in a while say something vacant. Responsively, like, oh, that's interesting. Yes, let's do that.
Blank expression on your face.
But I don't have to pay. I can use that time to think about what I need to be doing as soon as you stop talking.
I know, I can tell. I can tell that that's what you're doing. So, we had Christmas pudding that was on fire. Okay. I posted the video on Facebook. You didn't even notice that I posted the video on Facebook.
I think I did. Yeah, I think so.
And then New Year's Day was lamb. Why don't you talk about the things that are most important to you? Tell us what you did to the lamb, since that's the thing that...
Just another herb rub. And, you know, lamb's great too because you don't have to do much to it. So you just... But also, you need to take it out before the stinking FDA approved time. And... My only disappointment about New Year's is we couldn't have a sit-down dinner because...
I was too tired.
You were too tired. You really disappointed me that day.
I called it. I said, no, sit-down dinner. We're going to have a buffet. And
so we all had to sit around.
Whatever they
in
want.
In the living room without tables.
Yeah. It was great. It was really great.
It was like a cocktail party.
Yeah. It was so easy. It was nice. It was pleasant. People sat around. The football was on, so nobody had to stop watching football. And my mother made little patties of turkey things with salsa.
Mm-hmm, those are very good.
That people ate those, and the best.
But you
thing,
can't have lamb as like a cocktail dinner, you know.
I wasn't trying to do cocktails, but you didn't make anything.
But then
to
no,
go
but that was
it.
The idea. The attitude: you wander around and you get a slice of lamb. You don't have lamb for a walk around chatty time. You have, mm-hmm. you know, you have.
You do if you don't want your wife to just peg out from having to produce another sit-down dinner with all this stuff.
See, I shouldn't, as your husband, I shouldn't know that. You should just be doing what you know that I want you to do. And I shouldn't know how tired you are.
Why
because
not?
That adds, that makes me sad.
What? Hashtag me too. Is that what's going on here?
True agape would be you just discerning my will and then making it happen. And then when you're tired and upset, you know who you need to tell that to?
Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus. He's the one who will help you. I can't.
In all our domestic difficulties. Yeah. So. You look a little bit like Satan right now. The expression in your face. No, I really enjoyed New Year's Day because of people sitting. I had a nice time. I enjoyed the food, and I sat on the couch while you cooked. It was really great. It was really, really, really nice. And so, yeah, it was a pretty good time. I'm sort of at a loss to think. What was your favorite? You got a lot of nice presents. What was the favorite thing that you got?
All right. Well, I did get a lot of nice presents. My favorite one is this New Testament thing you bought me.
I picked it out myself from your Amazon wish list.
Yeah, it was really a lot of thought.
It really
and
did.
You know, in your case,
I prayed about it.
What my will would be.
I prayed about it, and I was like, it. "What? Oh Lord, what would Matt like?" And then I clicked on your Amazon wish list.
And I
discerningly went through and clicked by on everything in the list. Took me hours. I love the Amazon wish list option. Really.
Yeah.
It's so great. It takes the trauma out of
right
thinking about what to get you.
Well, this is great. It's the Tyndale House Greek New Testament, and it's really nice and a pleasure to read. And I know it's not the same thing as it has a different ethos behind it than the Nesseland and the other Greek version, but this is nice. I love it. I love reading it. It has a well bound, great thick paper. The font is easy. There's not a lot of
pages notes don't break when you.
Yeah. But the other. Nesseland especially has all these notes and footnotes, and this doesn't have all that. And I know if you're trying to study this as a Greek scholar, you'd want all those notes and stuff. But if you're just reading it devotionally, this is awesome. This is really nice. That's what I use it for.
What happened to your other one? You just lost it.
I don't know. Someone, I was taking it to church, and someone, either, oh. I couldn't, I can't, I think I lost it, or I left it there one Sunday. But I can't imagine who'd walk away with
a Greek Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is curious. I thought you lost it in the house. I assumed that that's what.
Well, I happened. Thought so too, but it's just not here. So I know I was taking it to church during the same time.
Okay.
I imagine I left it there one Sunday and.
Well, it might be in the church then, because truly, I can't imagine somebody stealing that, unless it's a poor seminary student who saw it and was like,
"Right, maybe we should."
I just
get Jerry and Ife to
just gonna take
see
this.
What.
That would be really funny. We should go visit them and search their houses. So, well, my favorite thing that you got me out of my Amazon wish list was a pair of red Chinese boots on the slow boat from China.
They got here there before Christmas.
They
I was
did.
Surprised.
And I've discovered that I, like Donald Trump, have impossibly small feet and hands. So I can't wear gloves. I have to wear
child
gloves.
But you are
like
very smart.
I am like very smart. And my hands are huge.
They're bigger than Kim Jong-un's.
Well, so I have to wear child-sized gloves because I can't. There are no gloves. And I get most of my shoes from the children's department in regular stores because my feet are so dinky. But if you put in your shoe size into Amazon, and then the color of shoe that you want, a surprising number of beautiful Chinese embroidered shoes come up immediately. And so I put a lot of them in my Amazon wish list, and you got all of them for me. What I thought was interesting is that you looked through my list. You didn't get me everything on my Amazon wish list because I had like thousands of dollars.
I couldn't afford everything on your Amazon list.
But you bought me all the shoes, and you didn't buy me all the books. And that's what confuses me, because that says to me that you think that I am more, I don't know, like, why wouldn't you buy me all the books? That's more, they were cheaper than the shoes.
Because I like looking at you when you dress up in nice things, and I don't like looking at when you read.
You know, lately. So.
I find you prettier when you're dressed up than when you're reading.
You don't. But I could wear the shoes.
You don't have to read
reading.
A book at all. You just dress up nicely, and know what I want as far as dinners go.
Yeah.
And not complain.
So I was trying
to... So I was helping you in the process of being a good wife.
I was reading about... I was reading a review of The Last Jedi, which we saw over Christmas. And there's a long article about why men hate The Last Jedi.
I don't hate The Last Jedi. I love it. That was good.
Well, but this article had like 15 reasons why men hate The Last Jedi but can't agree on why. And it turns out that the reason that they all hate it is because of the male gaze. The women in the film were not filmed through the lens of the male gaze. So I looked up male gaze because I wasn't really sure. What was great about this is that we were talking about it with our two teenagers who we took to see the movie. So
yeah,
we were trying to figure out what the male gaze was.
And the male gaze is what? What is male gaze?
You film the movie or you paint the picture as from the point of view of the male. So the best example of this would be that if a man is making the movie and he wants to put the woman character into work clothes, he makes the work clothes skin tight and low cut. Because obviously women, when they're working, want to look like harlots. So, but this movie didn't have that. The woman in work clothes in this movie looked like a regular person.
Who's that?
The young Asian lady who probably would look great in the shoes that I bought, or you bought this Christmas. Anyway, she, just to be stereotypical, her feet are probably bigger than mine, but she was a
people didn't like her.
Short.
Is that right? Is that what the thing was saying?
Apparently, people hated her because of the male gaze. Okay, because she was filmed as an ordinary person and there was no drama or there was no sexual tension between her and Finn.
They kissed.
Well, okay, so this criticism is totally fair because I missed that. I did not get that there was any romantic thing between...
I figured that she liked him. I thought that the trope I thought was going on is that she was really attracted to him, but he was going to choose someone else.
Oh, I didn't. They did such a good job at not doing the male gaze or the female gaze, actually, that I didn't pick up on any tension.
What's the female gaze?
I don't know. I don't think there is one. Yeah, that'd be curious.
I mean, there's not one. Look at the cover of a romance novel. Like, oh, the...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The female gaze has the man
but that's,
scantily clad as well.
It's fine like to have a female gaze because it's not misogynistic and exploitative.
So the covers of romance novels
are not exploitative
at all. I see.
Yeah, that's what I'm gathering. I don't really understand.
That's totally okay. So...
yeah, that's really sick. So... What was our original topic?
We were talking about
your... Oh, yeah. So our whole lives are fashioned by your exploitative male gaze. You bought me shoes rather than books because you'd rather see me wearing shoes than sitting down reading.
You have so many flat shoes.
Right? You bought me two more pairs of flat shoes.
I bought mostly heels.
No, you only heels bought
two
pairs.
Those boots have heels on them.
Yeah, but the
And so did the other black, the blue, brown shoes that I bought.
Okay,
you.
But that is my also problem with your, misogynistic.
My problem with your shoe selection is that they're all flat. And you should wear higher heels.
That's also because I'm very, very short. And I should wear heels. Because I don't even rise to the level of a person.
And you always, I saw you bought another one, and it's really irritating me, but this big fluffy sweater. Someone gave you a big fluffy sweater with a big collar on it.
Yeah.
And you wear it everywhere.
It's my indoor sweater. You want me to dress inappropriately like a harlot instead of like the
matronly
person that I am.
And that's why people didn't like the Chinese person in the story? Is that
Asian.
Asian person in the story, is that why?
Yeah, apparently men hated this movie because... they were not able to look at her through their male gaze.
I've never heard one male say that. I've heard maybe, this is the first time I've heard a female say it, but I've never heard one male say that.
Well, that's what this
I thought. I liked her as a character. I thought she was fine.
Yeah, I missed the romance part. It's okay to have sexual tension on screen, isn't it? Oh, maybe actually it's not okay.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. We shouldn't. They've done that, and that didn't work out well for them. Now they're all wearing black. They're all in mourning. So.
You mean like behind the scenes of the movie, or?
Well, no, I'm just saying they've done the.
Because there was lots of sexual tension behind the scenes of many movies we've
ever. Yeah, that's true. That's what we've heard.
It was just steeped in sexual tension. And most of the tension was released, apparently. So
yeah, so that's really bad.
Right.
So I didn't love The Last Jedi, but not because of the male gaze. But you really liked it.
That was good.
What did you like about it?
Well, it came, you know, there were twists and turns you didn't expect. And you thought for a while, oh, okay, well, emo Kylo Ren is going to become... turn to the good side because he's going to fall in love with
Rey. That they didn't.
But actually, no, he just thought Rey would be his right-hand queen while he ascended into the heights of power. And so his killing of Snoke, or whatever that was only to get his own power and to have her join him ruling the universe. Which I thought was pretty good. Yeah. That was a good character development move. And you can see him becoming more and more wicked as time goes on, which is good.
Those were my favorite parts. The shirtless Kylo Ren, emo Kylo Ren.
Where she told him to put his shirt back on.
Yeah, that was.
What was this so forcing? They called it forcing instead of texting. Yeah. Instead of texting.
Oh no.
He and Rey were able to communicate in this weird force.
Force field? That right. was fantastic.
And so he appears with his shirt off. She tells him.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then I really loved that he tried to kill Luke Skywalker with all the... I like how he is my favorite villain. He's the perfect millennial villain. I continue to feel that in my heart.
Some of my conservative friends say, though, that the reason they didn't like it is because it was pushing feminism on the, because the, what's his name? The Poe turns out to be an idiot.
Yeah.
and Luke is abrogated his power and, or his responsibility, and is hiding off in an island drinking milk from the,
from that thing. That's so horrible.
And Han Solo is dead. So, I mean, everybody, all the male characters were kind of exed out except for Finn, who's too young to really take authority yet. So.
I thought that was actually really interesting, and I didn't think it was, it might have been driven by a feminist agenda to push the narrative in a certain direction, but I thought it was a really interesting, descriptive visual of where we are as a culture because of the generation of the boomers, largely. I thought it was really great, especially with the Me Too hashtag going on all year. Because the women were there alone, like, but the men decided not to show up, or they weren't competent. It's not because
if you see it as the feminist director or writer actively trying to push women as wiser and more competent than men. Then yeah, I can see how you'd be upset. But the reality is, the only reason women are leading is because men abrogated. I mean,
Han Solo leaves. He takes off. He suffers from, failure. But instead of picking back up and trying again, he leaves for seemingly forever.
Right.
And then the women are left to form and shape and try to deal with young men like Poe, who need
that he needed to be brought along. An older man to
there were none, and so they try to curb him, which I actually think is really helpful. They demote him because he's an idiot, but they don't kick him out. Like, they don't get rid of him. They're obviously trying to bring him along, and do their best with not enough help. Which I think is really an apt visual for where many, many women find themselves with their sons when the man just leaves. Or, I mean, that how many, that's a generation of households.
Right.
Where the man just leaves and the woman is left with.
So I wonder if men have, if men had been, I mean, just in a cultural sense, if men had been genuinely Christ-like in their role toward their wives or toward women in their lives, there would be much of a feminist movement. There would be a sense that women want to take power and take the reins and do all these things. That's I think, men blame women for the feminist movement, but I wonder, I almost always think it's the man's fault.
Scripture doesn't blame
women for this.
Women for, I mean, Adam.
Not that
is,
doesn't absolve their sin.
No, but Adam is held responsible for the failure of Eve. And I always have thought that that's how it should be, you know, when you're looking at cultural trends.
Right.
I mean, it's interesting that after the war, the two devastating wars, men weren't around in Europe, and they had gone off and fought, and many of them died. And those that came back, I think, were exhausted, right? And women had stepped up in their absence, and found that they could find interesting work to do. But and you know what? It suited most men for that to happen.
Yeah, and we should go back a little bit. I should go back a little bit on what I said, because if there's a reason why men coming back from the horror of World War II might be less apt to put really strong restrictions on their kids. I mean, I can see hiding and not being communicative.
Because what are you going to say? How are you going to describe what you saw and what you...
Right. So there's a tragedy there. It's not just total abdication. There's a tragic aspect, because these men did step up
They came home to wives who were incredibly competent and who had done a lot and who had been out in the world making the world go. And when they came back, they didn't want to just return to life as it had been, which honestly I think is fine too. I don't think there's anything necessarily evil about that. But I think the evil enters in when the men look at the lay of the land and they benefit. They benefit from women's sexual promiscuity.
That's where they became evil, right?
Yeah,
so the sons of the World War II generation.
They benefit from women going out to work and not having, and then they don't have to step up, you know, and their wives can then have a full-time job and keep the house, and they can just continue to live as they have always lived. Those two things together, I think, make it was really beneficial to men for women to be encouraged to go express themselves in the workplace.
I mean, the weakest, most cowardly, most weaselly and disgusting form of masculinity is the man who's for women's reproductive rights.
Yeah.
Because you know he just wants to have sex with the women, and he's using, I mean, my skin crawls every time I see a man describe himself as a feminist.
Yeah.
It's so pandering and so weak and unmanly.
And two-faced.
I understand. I mean, if you're describing yourself as a feminist, it's just someone, hey, I think that women should have the ability to work and vote and...
And be human.
Be human, fine. But if you mean what feminism has come to mean, that's just... It's repugnant to the idea of masculinity. Because it gives you an out. You can abrogate your responsibility to lead, to provide, to protect, all those things. You can just give yourself a pass for.
Which I think describes almost a generation of the boomer generation. We're Gen X. I'm on the younger side of Gen X, but a lot of fathers who, I mean, I think the spirit of the age is best articulated in that ridiculous movie. I have no idea what anybody's names are, but it's Kirstie Alley, and she gets pregnant and doesn't know who the father is, or she does know who the father is, and she's going to be a single mom. And the guy, and the narrating voice is the baby. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? It's from the early 80s. Yeah, I'm sure you saw it. And so she's a single mom, and it was kind of groundbreaking because she was going to do it and she didn't need the guy. But then at the end of the movie, she confronts the guy with her little toddler.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I just need some me time.
Right, because she wants him to help her.
Yeah.
And he said, I just need some me time.
And yeah, so she takes the... She lets the baby destroy the office. The two of them go around and break everything and then leave. And I think that's a really great picture of...
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. And, you know, what a generation is right.
Because Luke feminism, needs me time.
And he needs me time.
Poe needs me time to destroy...
Yeah, all this stuff.
Right, right.
And so the women are like, all right, well, no, yeah, you can't. Yeah. So, but yeah, feminism certainly plays a part in it. But you know what? Male abdication...
Yeah.
Is it when God counts it up, that's going to be where most of the judgment falls.
Right. Right.
I bet.
Yeah. So it's you see that trope in the scriptures too, in history that the scriptures record with Barak and Deborah and.
Yeah, I won't go into war unless you go with me. And so she's like, okay, let's go. You know, right. Yeah, that's another.
She doesn't fight, but she goes.
But she goes. I mean, oh yeah. My gosh. And then JL kills the.
Right.
You know, the whatever his name is. Cicero. I should know because I'm steeped in the scripture. So. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we solved this.
I know. We didn't even know we were going to talk about it.
We should do a lifestyle discipleship book on based on Star Wars, The Last Jedi, and the Bible.
Right.
And that movie with Kirstie Alley, which name I can't remember.
Right.
And we should do like
what about tips, the Taoist Zoroastrianism and Last Jedi? We shouldn't include that part, but everything else.
To get the men to come back. and how to live your life without the male gaze.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's really funny.
I think that's a lie.
Yeah.
From the feminists. There's a female gaze too, and you see it in any bookstore, and that's just a lie.
The thing is, and nobody can say this, so I guess I will. On the radio or on our... No, that's radio. That's old. On the phone. And that's... that a lot of women appreciate the male gaze.
Like, right.
Lots and lots of women...
because they dress to attract it.
Yes. Sure. are very much focused in on the male gaze. And when it's not there, they get really ragey, actually.
What was that article about? It was like basically spelling out basic human nature. It was written by a woman. Here's a little secret. Men like to look at beautiful women, and women like men to look at them. So, and that's not bad. It's bad when it turns into lust, but it's not bad just as part of the way God constructed our beings that men pursue and women want to be pursued, and there's a goodness to that. For feminists, it's terrible, except when they don't have it, right? Then when men don't pursue them because they've spent most of their lives being ugly or trying to make themselves ugly, so men don't pursue them, they get mad.
That was
because men don't see past their purposeful marring of their beauty into their souls.
That was a friend of mine's life verse.
Which one?
Save me, O God, for men hotly pursue me all day long.
What psalm is it from?
I can't remember. I can never remember the
reference. It's the King James version, isn't it?
I think it's the King James, and I thought that was a great life verse. Well, no, I mean, it can be really, what I really, really like is people complaining about the male gaze in Hollywood films, but then to look at the runway for the Golden Globes, they're all wearing black, right, and they're
the Me Too thing.
Yeah, they're wearing black for mourning.
super tight black dresses.
But they're like, speaking of the male gaze, and me too, they are so, none of them are dressed like Rose Tico in her coverall in The Last Jedi.
Right.
Like,
they should have worn coveralls right.
if they're really concerned about me too. Yeah. But they're out there, like, please, please, inappropriately hit on me today. Please, say something inappropriate.
Right. Yes.
I mean, there's got to be a middle way. You shouldn't have to dress like Rose Tico unless you want to.
Well, right. There's a difference between dressing attractively and dressing like a harlot, right?
Yeah, or the plunging neckline of, I thought it was Meryl Streep. She's lecturing. And the neckline on her dress is like down to the center of the earth. Like,
I don't know. I wouldn't notice.
I'm glad you just keep your male gaze other places. So, right. Yeah, that's what I love. That's the kind of thing that I love about modern life is the glaring hypocrisy and inconsistencies that just sort of present themselves to you. But you're not supposed to notice. You're not supposed to say anything.
Right.
I adore that. So, I loved, maybe this should be our parting word, I loved the purple hair on that tall woman who everybody hates because she was the strong female character.
I did find her really annoying, and she wasn't a very good leader. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, she did a good sacrificial
thing. I loved the purple hair, though. Like, I don't care what her acting was like or what she was saying, because her purple curls were so beautiful. Speaking of the female gaze.
I didn't notice the purple curls.
You didn't even notice?
I know she had purple hair, but it wasn't.
It was just, it was perfectly arranged. And obviously, no, speaking of women looking at men and women looking at things, the way that she was dressed was for the female audience to notice her gorgeous outfit and her purple curls. So the difference between her, she's perfectly arranged, fantastic, and Rose Tico, who was also allowed to be an ordinary looking woman, go on, say something about her coverall. I loved that visual difference there. I thought that was really nice.
See, okay, well, here, but you know, she did do the classic thing that women do when they're in charge and don't know how to do.
Yeah, you
don't
know how to lead. Yeah,
and that is, you know, look, if you have and she knew she did. If you have a raging rebellion going on in your ranks because people think you're not doing anything except dumping your fuel into escape pods to run away, then, hey, take a few of the leaders, share your plan. Let people know what you're doing.
That's crazy talk. Secrecy
instead,
is
but
better.
That was like a power move by a female. Which
yeah, because she didn't want to be questioned by the young man. Yeah. That's true.
A male that leader would never do that. A male leader would say, oh, let me tell you what I'm doing. Or at least take a few of the leaders of the opposition and say, hey, look, this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is our plan. Rather than just pull this kind of weird...
So, but why did she think that if people knew she was going to do that, they would try to stop her? Was it because she... Was there a plot reason?
Well, no one would have tried to... Obviously, once Poe realized that there was a planet that they were headed to, and the whole plan unfolded, well, he was totally for it.
Didn't move the plot forward.
No, it was just a weird... It's kind of what women do when they get in charge, and they think that's the way men operate with each other, and they don't operate that way with each other at all, or if they do... They're hated and despised overthrown by like a despot.
That's right. Interesting because I think there's a definitely a women aping male leadership.
Understand what it is.
And thinking that they have to do that, lead that way without really understanding it in order to be seen to be good leaders rather than maybe following their natural instincts and do because women leading have a peculiar and very interesting way of dealing with people and building consensus, for instance.
I don't think Margaret Thatcher would have done that.
No.
I don't think...
Because she wouldn't have been threatened by the young men who were, theoretically, I actually don't know what she would have done.
Well, she wouldn't be upset by a hawk or by someone who really wants to, you know, destroy the communists. She would just tell them why she's doing what she's doing and not doing anything. But
That's interesting. So. Well, it is to me anyway. And I'm sure that all of our listener will also be fascinated by...
I think we have two now. We've increased, we've doubled our audience in the last... And people were actually saying they missed our podcast, which is surprising. I heard. I didn't know that people would consider it part of their lives.
Yeah,
The two people have considered it part of
their lives.
Their lives.
I heard that we have great banter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like we put that on full display today. So you're welcome. You're welcome. But I guess we should move along. But we will definitely be back next week, unless you have any parting words about The Last Jedi or Christmas.
Why do you?
I don't know. I just want to make sure we've covered all our bases.
I think we have beaten Jedi to death.
To death. We'll talk about something else next week. Right. But until then, have a great week. Thanks for listening.